There was an acrimonious divorce in the sports world this week. It wasn't Andy Pettit leaving the New York Yankees or Dan Reeves getting sacked as coach of football's Atlanta Falcons. Those things did happen, but players and coaches come and go. The really nasty breakup involved a partnership that was supposed to change the way pro sports teams conduct business. Joining me now, as he does most Fridays, is Wall Street Journal sports writer Stefan Fatsis. And Stefan, we're talking about that one-word company, Yankee Nets, which brought together New York's baseball Yankees and basketball's New Jersey Nets. On paper, it was supposed to be an unusual but successful union.
Right. It brought together the legendary Yankees on the one side and the vagabond Nets, who played in places like Piscataway and Uniondale and East Rutherford on the other. So it was not only lopsided in terms of history and championships, it brought together the autocratic Yankees owner George Steinbrenner with a group of charity-minded businessmen who own the Nets.
But Steinbrenner and the owners of the Nets obviously foresaw some synergy here in this relationship. What was supposed to happen?
Well, the idea was that by joining forces, you could bring to bear more market power and economies of scale. You could offer sponsors year-round exposure through the two teams. You could combine operations in areas like ticket sales. You could improve leverage to get a new arena built in Newark, which was a goal of the Nets. You could join together to sell TV rights. In 2000, a year after the merger, the groups bought a piece of hockey's New Jersey Devils, which made this appear even more powerful a company.
Okay, so enter real life. What happened?
Well, a lot of the business synergies never happened. You didn't see the Yankees pitching a lot of ticket packages to go to Nets games, even when the Nets were advancing to the NBA Finals a couple of years in a row. The biggest bust, though, was the inability to get that arena built in Newark. Without that, the Nets have continued to hemorrhage money, and now they're up for sale. Ownership in the Yankee Nets group feuded pretty bitterly over the last couple of years. The only piece that worked was television. They created a regional sports cable television network called YES, and despite this divorce, the owners of the two teams are going to keep their stake in that.
Well, should we look at the failure of the Yankee Nets partnership and say that it shows that perhaps bigger is not better when it comes to the sports business?
Well, the trend in the 90s was bigger is better. It was to bring corporate entertainment together with pro sports. So you saw a lot of joint ownership of teams in different sports, and you saw a lot of entertainment companies get involved. But what we're beginning to see is the unraveling of this trend. Walt Disney recently sold the Anaheim Angels baseball team. They're trying to unload their hockey team, the Mighty Ducks of Anaheim. AOL Time Warner has dumped basketball's Atlanta Hawks and hockey's Atlanta Thrashers for a very low price. So the message here might be that sports teams are best run by individuals, deep-pocketed individual owners, not corporations.
Well, in this season of some disintegration of these sports conglomerates, one potential beneficiary is the County of Kings, the borough of Brooklyn, New York, could be getting a professional sports franchise.
The current high bidder for the Nets is a developer in New York named Bruce Ratner. He wants to move the Nets to Brooklyn, to the very same site that the city had offered Brooklyn Dodgers owner Walter O'Malley to build a new Ebbets Field before O'Malley decided to skip town and go to Los Angeles in the 1950s.
Well, it's only been after 45 years.
Hey, Brooklyn's been waiting.
Stefan Fatsis of the Wall Street Journal talks with us most Fridays about sports and the business of sports. Thanks for seeing us once again, Stefan.
Thanks, Robert.